Could you lift those hands half-mast? You know it's a costly thing heaven's ever sustained is your right to make choices. Without that, there would be no fellowship. As many times as I preached on this, what would you get out of a robot?
I love you. I love you.
Eventually, you'd just turn the thing off. You're his family. You have any idea what he gets out of you raising your hands and beginning to worship him? Call him your father. And know that we're left on this planet for a certain time just to bring other people home with us. Hallelujah. There's a fellowship. Father, son, family. There's a fellowship he has with us. And to think that when they ask him who says, he said, I am. I am, which is simply the sum total of everything that is. For him to step into fellowship with us on a one-to-one basis is incredible. Hallelujah. Incredible. So just half-mast, just raise them up there. So if something pulls them on up, I mean, I wouldn't care if your hands went through the ceiling. I just called to say something. I just called to say I love you. Could you stand up one more time? I'll admit to you right now, I'm ready to lose it. I'm bordering on something. When I start worshiping or getting him glory and extended glory, and the love of God begins to mount, and I'll briefly visit places that I don't even have words for. So you lift your hands half-mast. If they go on up, it's your fault. And Father, I just called to say I love you. And Father, what you're doing, I give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And everything in me, I want to thank you for the trucks that are backing up to this place to pick up the wheelchairs and the crutches and stuff. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the endurance that you warned us way ahead of time that's on that sign, that prophecy, word for word out front. What would make me think I could come to a religious city and have a revival in 3 months? Right now, I give you all the glory and praise you with everything in me for what's coming. I am quietly excited. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, sila hurandalis deku deku gwe kist dai. Shinkuria forabla tienaski heloboa haskedeskima haskedesa. For these places you're moving into, I have prepared. I prepared them by the power of my spirit. And to say that long waits were on purpose, long waits is because it was necessary. But if I have my way, saith the Lord, that you'll move into a place that's been guaranteed. You'll see all that I told you, you'll see. Just stay in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit and worship me. Something is getting closer. I did not give you that word endurance for nothing. So be strong. You'll see much in these last days, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Kilo taskitum. Be quiet. Din stili fuporatile. No ricatilisco haskisi. The comescula ibataka. Eskedeshomake. Ho eskedesia. Say not in your heart. We don't know how to enter in to revival. For I'd say to you, the teaching, the revelation knowledge is being received, that you'll be able to put them things aside and take those steps into me which is necessary. For I'm causing this in a city that's known for religion. So be strong, because there's many doctrines here. But the one I'll bring you forward in is my doctrine, saith the Lord, and it has living signs and wonders in it. Oh, that's good. Wish I could think of that. Hallelujah, Jesus. That was good. You brought... For all the things I brought you forward in, my faith, my word, my nature, I cannot lie. And I've give you my word. I cannot lie. And I've give you my word. I cannot lie. And I have given you my word. And you'll see. Follow it very, very closely. For this place is known for its religion, for its schools, and the doctrines that came out of that. Let me cause a revival to come out of this place of signs and wonders. I had my Bible marked to...
How come John's disciples fast off and yours don't fast at all?
So, why should they when I'm with them? The day's coming, I'll be taken away, and that day you'll fast. Do you want to know why? Because you don't put new patches on old garments and new wine into old bottles. Can't you just see them going? Thank you. Thank you very much. We now understand everything there is to know about fasting. Thank you very much. But when you discover what he was saying, fasting is a very powerful tool in the mortification of the flesh. Very powerful. And when you understand what he was saying, I can give you something to do that you can do on purpose that will mortify the flesh. It will. And that's fasting. Of course, they wasn't born again. They didn't have a new nature. But when they were trying to cast that devil out of that child that was mentally impaired, they said, why couldn't I cast him? How couldn't I couldn't do it? And he said, because of your unbelief. But you can fix that. For this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. So when he was saying you don't put new wine into old bottles and new patches and old garments, what he was saying is that's exactly what I have to do. This is why I'm instructing you in fasting. You put new wine in an old bottle, new patch on an old garment. When you were born again, he put new wine in an old wineskin. But that's okay. That's what he said that fasting played a strong role in. And I found that when I came to the end of everything and didn't know what else to do, praying in the Spirit, standing, understanding what confession of His Word does because it's truth. But when He said, I've got to put this new wine in the old garment, He was giving a lot per se to fasting. He says, in those days then, you'll fast. Fasting is a process that executes mortification on the flesh. In other words, that can stop its operation. If you've got enough faith in you to stop eating, you got a lot of faith. But in the years past, you know, every year I'd try to understand fasting and teach on it. Because we were believing for what's coming, but we wanted it to come tomorrow. But we were believing, and trust me when I say too, God is bringing it as quickly or as fast as He can. But I was asking Him, why would you send me to a religious city? I mean, why couldn't I just go to somewhere where they would take a small sign and wonder and just fill the whole church up and revival would burn and everything? Why did you want to send me here? And when I first came, not knowing, I knew what He wanted, but not how. So I crossed the river. I went to a major church there. I don't want to use names now. A major church. It was just an excellent church. It's great. I preached there. It's great. I love it. But their vision wouldn't fit in mine. They're good pastors. Good. But their vision wouldn't fit in my vision. He said, what did I send you for? And I said, revival. I wouldn't care. If the whole fields was full of people and they spread out and went to all the churches in the city to be fed, I wouldn't care. That's not what it's about. It's about the lost. It's about you. I thank my God that He left me here so I can harvest more fields for Him. I thank Him for that. Whatever my call is in the harvesting, I'm a mouth. But who's to say? I mean, how would you like to go without your eyes? You'd have to have somebody lead you around. How would you like to go without your voice? You'd have a little trouble preaching. You'd have to write it all out, wouldn't you? Every part of your body plays a major role. You know, I heard the toenail prophesying to my ear. Yeah, I have something against you. You women folks, you just hang stuff on me. Decorate yourself. And what do I get? A 30-second inspection shoved in a sock and sometime a dirty shoe. And I carry the weight of this ministry. And you know I have a heavy territory with most places I serve, you know. Think. I used to think because I used to mouth. Oh God, I'm going to get a good reward. I'm leaving for Japan. Been there once before, made a breakthrough. The guy was born without an eardrum. That was what they noticed the most. Is that some must have knew him or something. He didn't have the eardrum. And he got it. He could hear a whisper. I'm the mouth. What do I think that I'm special or something because I'm the mouth? Just for the sake of teaching, they say you're an intercessor. Do you know what this one did? Saved my life twice. One was in India. They put a bomb with a timer on it to go off in the middle of the service. You know what it did? Nothing. She called before that service and said, I picked up bomb in the spirit and diffused it because she's an intercessor. And the second one, for some reason I woke up early to head back from Texas. So I jumped up early. I didn't know why, and we took off. And you know that tornado come through, that killer one? It killed all those people and stuff. If I'd have taken off at that time, I'd have been right where it hit. In the car. But I beat it. I was home. So she has a role. So he said, you ought not think of yourself my highland, then you ought to think soberly. What, because I'm a mouth, I'm special or something? You're not. You're not. Let's say that it came time. There was this quiet little intercessor, like just kept to herself basically and was quiet. But man, when she did fasted and prayed for that ministry just continually. And the day come for the rewards. Now, if I was going to preach what I wanted, I wouldn't be on this right now. The day come for the rewards. It was a great big, it looked like glass where you could walk and see the world, see places in it. It was where the Lamb come to reward me for all the things that, oh boy. So I come in and he greets me and we get to walk over and see what was done. And I'm going to get my reward. Nothing like it. You know, I went through all what the Bible says, stood before him, everything, you know. Going to get my reward. God, I'm so excited. All of a sudden, the door opens and this maid comes in. She comes in and she's looking around. And I turn to Jesus and say, what's that maid doing in my reward room? Huh? What's she doing in here? I was great. I preached all over. I helped break into Japan. In Brazil, I'm great. What's that cleaning lady doing in here? What's she doing in here? You know what Jesus said, Faye? David. He'd probably call me David. Or the other name he'd give me. Probably that one back to earth. David. David. You ought not think of yourself more highly than you think. Let me tell you about her. She cleaned the segments of your church, the 50,000 cedar wings. She come and cleaned them and spent the entire night in prayer. When she'd get a release on one city, she'd stick a pin in another, just praying continually her entire life for the spread of this gospel and you. I said, she did that. He says, yes. And she will stand here with you and receive her award. Come on. The great guy isn't one up preaching. We have our calls. So what has he called us to do? What has he called you to do? What we're doing? People are praying and they're still praying. Some fasting. He gives us the key word, endurance. He wants to have a revival out of this religious city. When I had a vision of it, it was when I was in the shower. I don't know why. Maybe I was standing still long enough to get it or something. But I saw a great revival fire just begin to burn. And somehow a flame would shoot like a fireball from that city to another one, and it would ignite with revival too. And then the other one, on what they were getting and receiving, balls of fire shot from them and landed into other cities, and they began to spring up with revival too. And I saw this go on and on because the revival was made out of where we're heading. We've had crutches and stuff and canes and mostly things like that hanging on the curtain at one time. So when you come in, these crutches and things, that's been discarded in the past. We're up on that, and we just thought that was nice. That eventually we took them down. But when Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these. And as you know, we discovered what the greater work was. You know, how could you do something greater than he did? How could you do that? That baffled me for years. He says, the works I do, you'll do also, and greater than these, because then the greatness of it all wasn't available yet. He had to go to the cross. Then you was able to minister the greatest miracle of all to somebody by getting them to receive him and be born again. The works I do, you'll do also and greater than these, because I go to the Father. What he died for us, freed us from sin, gave us a new nature, and went to the Father. And a greater work than any miracle in the natural is to get somebody born again in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Everything that can happen in the natural is secondary to what happened in the supernatural when you and I received a new nature which is impossible to receive. But he fixed it where we could. The first one he judged was the devil. He said, born a woman will be a seed that'll bruise your head. He prophesied 4,000 years into the future, so that he could turn around and prophesy the birth of the second Adam, Jesus. Then he turned back, judged the devil, killed some animals, clothed Adam and Eve. Why? Because it would be paid for at the resurrection of Jesus. So he had to do all of that. And then a law. All the articles of the law. How to keep it. Like Gary just got the biggest kick. He makes me repeat it from time to time. What did the guy say?
Loving husband of mine, did you have any trouble with the secretary today?
You'd better kill another sheep. What were they killing him for in the first place? So he could answer their prayer. I mean, he fixed it where he could answer our prayers. Every century, every generation, from then to here. He fixed it. And you think, after all of that, when we go into his presence and ask him something, that he don't hear it? He hears it. 6,000 years, the things he went through, just so we could even communicate with Him. When it was impossible for us to have a new nature yet, He substituted with the death of animals in His place. Just so we could raise our eyes towards heaven and ask Him. Take prayer lightly? I don't think so. Can you imagine Him looking at us and saying, look, I can't get them to pray. We should, animal sacrifices and stuff. Well, maybe they'll pray when they get their new nature. How many sees churches all over that are like Baptists and things that are real strong on being born again and saved and everything? But then we don't go on to the day of Pentecost, and we don't go on praying with the tongues. And most religions stop right there. And then when they do get filled, sometimes the last time they spoke with the tongues is when they were filled. And then interrupting a service or two, maybe. Let's think about this for a minute. He gave me. I mean, He watched us and said, well, they got the new nature. Maybe, Holy Spirit, you go live with them. They still didn't pray. So He says, well, if we create a language and give them the prayer, then do the praying for them and then answering it. You think you can get them to do it then? The understanding of it usually don't make it that far. Wait a minute. He's got a call for him. Mm-hmm. He that searches the heart knows what's the mind of the Spirit, makes intercession for you according to the will of God. Then you know all things work together for the good of them who love God and you're called according to His purpose. So now He loves you so much. See, that not only you get born again, but you can be filled with the Spirit. And not only you be filled with the Spirit, He knows His mind and call for you. And the Holy Spirit will use your authority to offer that back to the Father to be answered. That's why you pray in tongues. The devil will try to bring all kinds of strongholds against you, which is a system of thought empowered by emotion, to get you to stop. Because he knows those prayers will be answered if you do not stop. And he fixed it so he wouldn't have to keep up. I could read my Bible and so on. I can run. But I'm reading my Bible, studying, walking around, running. He fixed it. Well, we could pray in tongues. Anytime, just about anywhere. When I worked in the mill and I didn't know what it would do, I still prayed in it. They'd see my lips moving. And one guy come over and ask me, how come your lips are always moving? I said, I'm just praying silently. He said, okay. How easy can he make it? The hell is caused on the other side. The devil wants you to stop. You know one reason he wants you to? He don't understand what you're saying, so he can't get ready for you. All he'll major on is just stopping the whole thing. I said, how do you know that? Praying it out. I had spot visions and things. In the days when this was becoming our foundation. I seen this guy, and there's somebody in the hospital. He was racing to the hospital. And he was trying to operate in faith. He was saying they'll live and not die. But every time he would say that, it would just ring all over in his skull. She's going to die. She's going to die. He'd say it again. No, she'll live and not die. She's going to die. All of a sudden, he he, the person I'm seeing in the vision, God opened his eyes. And he looked, and there was a devil sitting on this shoulder, and he had his arm around his head. One on the other shoulder with the arm around his head. And they was yelling through the ear to the other one, "He'll die, she'll die, she'll die, she'll die." And kept echoing that. "She'll die." And he kept, how many of you, a feeling just almost more powerful than you just comes over you, it racks you with something. Oh God, what am I doing here? She'll die. All of a sudden, through discerning of the spirits, God opened his eyes. And this is what he saw. So he, of course, he bound the devil and caused him to go and understood what was causing that chaos and unbelief that seemed to come from nowhere. Yet it was so tangible, it can almost choke you sometimes. When I found out that was the devil fooling around with my flesh, like Alan says, that's your flesh. I know when he comes in, I just tell him, "I know you're here. I know you're here. I got something to say to you. Get out. Get out. In Jesus' name." How many of you have ever just been sitting in a house doing a driving or something? All of a sudden, just a real strong, like negative, "Ooh, nothing's going to work. What am I going to do about this and that?" How many's ever had any of that? Most of the time, it's a tangible presence that you can get rid of by telling it to get out. But if it's you, you can just say, "Hey, I choose to believe the word," and start worshiping him. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. For many of you have envisioned, you've seen yourself doing things by the Spirit. Things like workings of miracles, gifts of healings. You see yourself in that position, but don't know how. For there's things you'll understand then that you're not understanding now. But keep this in your heart, that when you allow me to pray for you, you pull yourself closer and closer to what I have for you. And for what I have for you is revival. For I nourish you this way. And I give you my word that's born of my spirit and understood by my spirit. And I give this to you, for you will need all that you know and all the strength that you have in the spirit to walk these last days out and the revivals that I'll cause in the midst of it. Whew, I believe that. For I take pleasure in the increase of teaching, that you stand forward in my power and in my name and receive you what you need. Oh, he likes that. Kela po tan sklesi, kansan to bekedesi. Oh, I don't know. These are simple things. I must be looking for something hard. When you turn your neck, you, ow. And when it pops out, kind of, it's a lot worse.
How could you know that?
Well, I had it one time. Every once in a while, I'll get a three-hinged door and hang on it. Let my body stretch out and pull stuff into place. You know, so I can lift 300 or 400 pounds without straining. But what I saw, this is lower in the neck, and it would pop over. When it did, it would put pressure on the nerve. So that would cause more through your system. But if you had that, I mean, who has that? He'll heal you right now. Come. Come on, this is the prayer center. Come. Ooh, your faith is somewhere else this time. It's really there. This is good. He doesn't care about what he could do in the past. He knew what he could do. But he's doing this now. This time it's not going to pull itself back. Back out. How many believes he's going to heal her? Let me see that. Relax. Look at that, would you? Maybe if we, you know, hooked an arm or a winch on that one arm, we could pick you up. In a... I can't get it. Get up there. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, well, now get down. Just disobeys and everything you ask it to do. La, la, la. Anybody got any music? Don't just kiss it. Oh, my classic kiss it. Can you soon get on my great kiss it again? So, what do you, most people like something they can see. You know, can lay hands on you. Of course, he's going to do it. But sometimes there's people in there that won't be convinced unless they see something. But that's how it starts. There's a fear. Thank you, Father. Somebody has a little fear, and it's because your heart acted up and gave you some jolts, and you was wondering if something's wrong with it, like preceding a heart attack or something. He said, you'll be healed. How do I word that? How he worded it? He said, you'll be healed, but unable to do it. He had to bring it to your attention so that you could come into agreement and receive the prayer. At this point, yes, sir. Of course, you can change that yourself by stepping over into the Word and receiving, but he's offering it right now. This is it. You might as well just get you some new tennis shoes and running clothes and swimming clothes. This is it. Moko Kideske. Do you know what he knows about you? This is part of why he could call you, and he had something to do it with. I mean, he does everything for you that he can. At the moment, according to what you're giving him to do it with. Sometime he can step over that. Somebody has a gift and sends them to you. And then he gets it to you. See? And you're being healed. Right now. In Jesus' name. Because it is. It's done. In Jesus' name. I keep thinking I'm going to say something else and tongues comes out and he'll step in sometime. I think I'm going to talk English, but I turned the services over to him a long time ago. It's hard to get in a wrong direction when you really only want a right one. But I thank God the only thing I needed to find out, and I stumbled into this quite accidentally, was when I walked off my job at 30 years old, I didn't know what else to do but pray the hours I would work. I run out of English real quick, about 5 minutes. And I had all those hours to go. So I switched to praying in tongues, not knowing whether you could really do it anytime you wanted or not. But I just decided you could. It was in those hours that he established a foundation that I didn't know I had, because I didn't know what edification was from praying in tongues. I didn't know we were edified because we began to understand the mysteries of God's mind and able to operate out of them. The early church was born actually in the day of Pentecost. Those praying in the tongues prayed the mystery out of what tongues was doing. And from that first 6 months on, I began to understand there's something that's not being preached. Of course, it ended up in the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power of the book and everything. But that place was born by praying in the Holy Ghost when I did not know what it was doing, and only did it knowing you were edified, but for the occupation of the time. But even Mary spoke with tongues on that day of Pentecost. Even Mary. I used to think fasting moved God, but it doesn't. It would drive the operation of the flesh down below the operation of my spirit. And then it could answer the prayers. He's not the one holding back. Please, if you got pain in your body anywhere, stand up where you're at. There's places in the Spirit where people walk that sometimes you maybe hear about them in different countries. There was somebody over here or over there. They attain to what you just read about in testimonies in the Bible. When they went somewhere and truckloads of crutches and wheelchairs was carried out. You hear about those things in the world here and there at times. And I can remember when he sent me here, I said, there? And first I thought being a religious city it would be a benefit. Not exactly. One of the greatest tools the devil has is deception. If he can get a guy to lead it, he can get a lot of people to follow. But you get people to pray in tongues. But when I saw the meteorite, and just before it hit the ground, and he did this so I'd understand, it turned into the book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Then it hit the ground and blew a well out, a crater. And then water started coming up out of the crater. And there was a doctrine here, and there was a doctrine here, and a doctrine here, and a doctrine here, four square. It would only water the truth in their doctrines. Only the truth. They'd pray, it would only bring the truth forward.